began last Sunday, looking at the book of Hosea. The first three chapters focus on the family, Hosea's family. Chapter 2, say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sisters you have received mercy. Plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, and I am not her husband. But she put away her whoring from her face, and her adultery from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. Upon her children also I will have no mercy, because they are children of whoredom. For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers, who give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax, my oil and my drink. Therefore I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her, so that she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them, and she shall seek them, but shall not find them. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me than now. And she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Therefore I will take back my grain in its time, and my wine in its season, and I will take away my wool and my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of my hand. And I will put an end to all her mirth, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts. And I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which are my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast days of the Baals, when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. And in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth. And the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel. And I will sow her for myself in the land, and I will have mercy on no mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. Amen. May the Lord bless his word to us. Well, our second I would invite you to turn to Hosea in chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. Tonight we move from the family home in chapter 1 to the family law court in chapter 2. Jesus says and does many unexpected things during the course of his ministry. One that caused a great deal of surprise and was remarked upon with disapproval and some disgust by some of the most religious people of the day, the Pharisees and scribes, is recorded in Luke 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Another time they were complaining about the same thing. Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." Why is the kingdom of God populated by so many sinners? Why didn't Jesus come just to save nice people? Well, Jesus's words and actions should not have surprised those who knew the message of the book of Hosea. Last week, we met the family. We saw Hosea is a prophet, a husband, and a father. And the message that God gave him to deliver was not just in words. But Hosea's actions were to demonstrate the message he gave. It's not the first time the Lord had asked his prophets to do certain things as a sign of the message, a visual aid to drive that message home. Isaiah had to walk naked for 3 years. Jeremiah had to travel a long distance, several hundred miles from Israel to the river Euphrates to bury a belt, and then later to go all the way back to dig it up again and retrieve it. Ezekiel had to lie on his side next to a model of Jerusalem for weeks on end. Even so, what God asked Hosea to do was even more surprising. "Go take to yourself a wife of whoredom and have children of whoredom." The Lord explained to Hosea that this was to be a sign of the message he was to deliver. "For the land commits great whoredom by forsaking the Lord." Hosea marries Gomer. She has 3 children, all of which the Lord names. And each of the children's names becomes part of Hosea's message. The eldest son, Jezreel. We saw that Jezreel was a valley and a town in that valley, that there had been much bloodshed in the past. Now God was going to judge Israel for the violence that had occurred there. And then a daughter was born, No Mercy. A strange name. Why that name? Well, the Lord explains, "For I will no more have mercy on the house of Israel to forgive them at all, but I will have mercy on the house of Judah." You remember the kingdom had been torn in two several generations earlier after Solomon had died. Well, now Israel, that had had a whole succession of idolatrous kings, they didn't have one good king among them. They had worshipped many idols. Now God was going to bring judgment on that nation. But for Judah, the smaller southern kingdom, well, God was going to continue to have mercy on them. And then a second son was born. God named him "Not My People." Not My People. Why? Well, the third child was to be a sign of the message, "For you are not my people and I am not your God." Hosea then was to deliver this message. It was a message of judgment to Israel. But this was not the last word from the Lord. Chapter 1 ends with a great reversal. Verse 10, Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, it shall be said to them, children of the living God. And the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together, and they shall appoint for themselves one head. The nations will be reunited as one people. And they shall go up from the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Say to your brothers, you are my people, and to your sister, you have received mercy. Judgment will not be the final word. God will bring about a great reversal of blessing for the people. This is the gospel. This is the good news, that Jesus, through his sinless, obedient life and death on the cross for our sins, brings us out of the place of judgment and wrath into the family of God. If you're a Christian, then you are one of the children of the living God. Did you spot that delightful word there in verse 10 of Hosea 1? It shall be said of them, children of the living God. Well, as we move into chapter 2, the story continues, and we continue to focus on Hosea and his family, Gomer, and the children. But as the story proceeds, it seems that the family fade into the background and Israel comes to the fore. But God is using Hosea's family to drive home the message. It's a visual aid. It's a sign to the people of their relationship with God and how things have broken down and what God will do. Hosea then is using a method at the beginning of chapter 2, used by other prophets. He's speaking as though the people were in court, the accused standing in the dock facing judgment. The story moves now to the family law courts, and Hosea is there. He is the plaintiff, he's the wrong husband, and there his wife in the dock, and the children are there as well. The story is told then in chapter 2 from the point of view of the husband, the offended party. Gomer, the wife, has forsaken her marriage vows and turned to a life of immorality or prostitution. It seems several years have passed since they married, for Hosea addresses the children, who must by now be old enough to understand what he's saying. Verse 2, plead with your mother, plead, for she's not my wife, I am not her husband, that she put away her whoring from her face and her adultery from between her breasts. The word for plead here, it's not plead in the sense of beg, but rather the word used in a court of law, where a prisoner is asked, how do you plead? Is Hosea then divorcing Gomer? The wording used here is very similar to the divorce proceedings in nearby Middle Eastern countries. Is that the picture that he is giving? Or is he saying that her actions have rendered the marriage as if it were over? Well, either way, in verses 3 and 4, Hosea is furious at what she has done. Verse 3, lest I strip her naked and make her as in the day she was born, and make her like a wilderness, and make her like a parched land, and kill her with thirst. A humiliating punishment. And that is symbolic of what God will do to the nation of Israel. God will strip them away and send them into exile. Now we see Hosea doubts if any of the children are his. How long had this been going on? How many affairs had she had? Or it may be that he's saying she's used the children in her whoredom. as a cover for her activities, as though she said she's just going to the school to pick up the children or to see one of the teachers, whereas in reality she slipped away to meet one of her lovers. But the children were dragged in and complicit in her adultery. If you hear me saying as we go through the book of Hosea, it may be that this means more than usual. It's because the book of Hosea is one of the most difficult to translate in the whole Bible. The story itself is clear, but some of the details take a little bit of looking at more closely, and sometimes it could be, or maybe it's something similar, slightly different. I guess in my mind, I tend to think of Hosea as coming from the north. It's a little bit like if you were listening to a piece, somebody from Newcastle, somebody speaking in Geordie. I'm sure it's very plain to people who know that language, but to those of us in the south, we might struggle a little bit to be precisely clear as to what's happening. Well, Hosea is from Israel, and the Hebrew is quite difficult. But anyhow, to continue with the story, verse 4, upon her children also I will have no mercy, because they are children of whoredom. Hosea is doubting whether any of these children are actually his. Has she been having these affairs all the way through? Are these somebody else's children? The shameful picture of his wife, there in verse 5, Gomer, for their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. And she makes no pretense of being the faithful wife. For she said, I will go after my lovers who give me my bread and my water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. She is selling sex to her lovers for money. Now for Israel, they were selling themselves to other gods, the Canaanite gods, the Baals. But Hosea has not rushed to court to divorce her. He's not simply washing his hands of her as soon as he could and then seeking to find a more suitable wife. No, unknown to her, he has sought to hinder her life of immorality. Verse 6, therefore I will hedge up her way with thorns, and I will build a wall against her, so she cannot find her paths. She shall pursue her lovers, but not overtake them. She shall seek them, but shall not find them. We don't know how he did this. Maybe he identified the men involved and paid them a visit, making it plain to them that they were not to pursue his wife. I mean, it'd be quite something, wouldn't it, to have a knock on the door and Hosea saying, do you know who I am? Hosea, the prophet, and I have something to say to you about your actions. To have a prophet of God come with a warning to you, frightening off a lot of men. Did he say something like, maybe you should leave town and not come back? Well, whatever he did, his aim was to put a wall to stop her from pursuing that life of immorality. And he does this with some success, because in the end, she decides that she will be better off returning to Hosea. Then she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband, for it was better for me then than now. That's not repentance. She's looking out for number one. What is best for her? If divorced, can Hosea remarry her if they are going to be divorced or have been divorced? Well, the law said not if she's been another man's wife. She's in a very dark place indeed at this point as to what will happen next to her. Her lovers, well, they're no longer to be found. Hosea, will he have her back? Can he have her back? She didn't realize that all this time Hosea had been looking after her, seeing that she did not starve. And it's at this point where Hosea and Gomer seem to fade into the background and God and Israel come to the fore. Verse 8, and she did not know that it was I who gave her the grain, the wine, and the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold, which they used for Baal. Israel had come from slavery in Egypt, spending 40 years in the wilderness, and now were in the promised land and had been for generations. Former slaves, nomads, were now farmers. God had looked after them, bringing them out of Egypt, kept them in the wilderness. Now, can he do so in the land of the Canaanites? What does God know about farming? After all, in Egypt, the people had been slaves, involved in the great building projects of Egypt. In the wilderness, well, God supplied them with manna day by day, 6 days a week, enough on the sixth day for the Sabbath day as well. He supplied them with water. Could he now supply them with wheat and grain and wine and so on? Well, it seems that the Israelites hedged their bets. They weren't quite sure if God really was good at giving them good crops. But Baal had been the resident god of the Canaanites for generations. Baal was the one to whom the Canaanites prayed to when they wanted a good harvest. So the Israelites hedged their bets. They worship God and they worship Baal. What harm can it do? But God says all the time, it was he who was providing them grain and wine and oil. He gave them silver and gold. And what did they do with these things? They offered what God had given them to Baal. What a thing to do. God had met their needs. He'd given to them year after year. And they took from what God gave them and they offered it to an idol, to Baal, who was no god at all. And God is now having none of it. He will put an end to this. Verse 9, therefore I will take back my grain in its time and my wine in its season, and I will take away my wool and my flax, which were to cover her nakedness. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers, and no one shall rescue her out of my hand. And I will put an end to all her mirth, her feasts, her new moons, her Sabbaths, and all her appointed feasts. And I will lay waste her vines and her fig trees, of which she said, these are my wages, which my lovers have given me. I will make them a forest, and the beasts of the field shall devour them. And I will punish her for the feast days of her Baals, when she burned offerings to them and adorned herself with her ring and jewelry and went after her lovers and forgot me, declares the Lord. You see, Hosea and Gomer now slipped into the background. Now Israel was there in the dock. And God brought these accusations of all the good things he had done for them. And what had they done? They had offered them to false gods. They had forgotten me, declares the Lord. God had entered a covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai, at the very heart of the covenant with the Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. And they had put Baal before God. Number two, you shall not make yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is on the earth beneath or that is on the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And what had they done? They had bowed down and served the Baals. Marriage is a covenant. Vows are taken. Gomer took her vows when she married Hosea. and now she's broken them. It's a picture of what Israel had done in their relationship with the Lord. What does the Lord require of us? Summarized after the Ten Commandments like this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Israel had forgotten God. They did not love him in that way. What of us? What of us? Well, we are not to add or take away or compromise in any way the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul writes to the Galatians, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but that there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Israel was not to worship false gods. We are not to have anything to do with false gospels. It's why we in Phillip Street do not take part in interfaith services. That would be like mixing worship of God with Baal worship. It's why we, Headley Park, Kensington, other evangelical churches in Bristol do not take part in churches together. The FIC churches, they have a statement every year that we sign affirming that we continue to believe this and practice this, that we will not join with those who preach a different gospel. Because there is no other gospel. It's not either or. It's not one way is the best way, but there are other ways. There is only one gospel and one way through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, at this point, the chapter changes its tone. Judgment, once again, is not the last word. The message of the first part of Hosea 2, it's a tough message, isn't it? We look on at a marriage that is in shambles because of the wife's betrayal. And we feel it. We know too often it happens in our society. We identify with it. And yet the Lord is saying, this is about my relationship with you, Israel. This is what has happened to us. You have betrayed me. You have gone after other gods. You've forgotten me. You've not loved me. A tough message for the people to hear, but it's not the last word. For at verse 14, there is a change. Let's have a look at this last section then. Gomer's no longer in view. Now it's God in Israel. And God says he will woo Israel as a young man seeks to win the woman he desires to marry. Verse 14, therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak tenderly to her. And there I will give her her vineyards and make the valley of Achor a door of hope. And there she shall answer as in the days of her youth, as at the time when she came out of the land of Egypt. God is going to speak to Israel beautiful words to allure her, to woo her, to win her love again, as it had been in the past. How many beautiful things Jesus says to sinners. Do you wonder why all those sinners we began the service with, we read of drawing near to Jesus, who wanted to hear what he said, who wanted to spend time with him, who enjoyed sharing a meal with him just to be near Jesus. Why? Why did they flock to him? because of the wonderful things he said to them. But he spoke to them in a way that these other religious folk would never have done, because the religious folk just looked down on them and saw them as worthless sinners. But Jesus spoke to them beautiful and wonderful words. He is the light of the world, and his light will shine on them. That he is the bread of life, that they can take and eat of this and live. That he is the living water, that they can freely drink. That he is the good shepherd, and they can be part of his flock. And he gives beautiful invitations. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What wonderful words for those folk who flocked to Jesus. Their lives had taken various turnings. They had done things that they were ashamed of. They had walked in darkness. And now Jesus is saying, come into the light. They hadn't known rest. They hadn't known peace. The burden they carried was hard and crushing to them, because sin always is. The wages of sin is death. But here was Jesus saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Rest for their souls. So they flocked to Jesus. He gives a new life, a fresh start, everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, a clean conscience, a righteousness to clothe you. That's a right standing in God's sight, that when God looks at you, he doesn't look at your sin. He looks at the righteousness of Christ, Christ's perfect life, as though you had lived that life. And God accepts you, and you can come into his presence and know him. He will woo Israel back to their first love. Did you know that old hymn we had just now? Tell me the old, old story. The verse that says, when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. And that's always the price. It's always too dear, too much. To walk in the ways of sin, to live without Christ, the cost is always too much to do that. And Hosea is saying, Israel, remember that story, the story of your history, of what God had done in the past with your forefathers. Come back to your first love, he's saying. Is that your need tonight? There are times in the life of every Christian, I think, when we need to do so, to banish the Baals from our lives, the idols that creep in, that steal away our love from the Lord. And at first we don't notice it, and by the time we do, it seems almost too late. Well, the message of Hosea is it's not too late. Come back to the Lord. The grace of God, his work through his Holy Spirit, will do this for you as you seek him. Look at verse 16. And in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband, and no longer will you call me my Baal, for I will remove the names of the Baals from her mouth, and they shall be remembered by name no more. No more false gods. No more false religions and false worship, but you will call the Lord my husband. Quite something, isn't it? My husband. And God will give his people security, verse 18. And I will make for them a covenant on that day with the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the creeping things of the ground. And I will abolish the bow, the sword, and war from the land, and I will make you lie down in safety. Do you know, Bach's piece, Sheep May Safely Graze. It's a lovely piece of music, and the words when in English there, to be one of the Lord's people is to be safe in his care. Verse 19, and I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Five things there, he says. Five gold rings in that carol. Number one, in righteousness. Remember the thesis of the book of Romans. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. As it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. That's the first ring that the Lord gives his people, that ring of righteousness. The second is justice. In justice, God will declare the verdict not guilty. Not guilty, but we are sinners. But Christ has taken our sin upon himself and given us his righteousness. What Luther called the great exchange has taken place. The third ring, in steadfast love, loving kindness, love with a loyalty, a love that is stronger than death. That's the love of God. For sinners, in mercy, fourthly, heartfelt compassion. How can a woman like Gomer have such a change of heart? How can idolatrous Baal worshipping Israel change? How can a leopard change its spots? Asked Jeremiah. The answer is in Ezekiel 11. I will give them one heart and a new spirit. I will put within them, I will remove a heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them, and they shall be my people and I will be their God. And the fifth ring, I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Faithfulness. Gomer's betrayed Hosea. Israel has betrayed God. But he will give them a ring of faithfulness, that they shall know the Lord. Well, God will bring this about. God will make these things real in the lives of his people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one who fulfills this. He changes lives. And we end this chapter with a great reversal of the three children's names. Verse 21, in that day I will answer, declares the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer the grain, the wine, and the oil, and they shall answer Jezreel, and I will sow her for myself in the land. Remember, Jezreel in chapter 1 was a place where bloodshed had done, that God was going to judge them. But the name Jezreel, it means God will sow, or may God sow. And it's that change, no longer the place of bloodshed and judgment. Now it will be a place where God will sow her for myself, he says, in the land. And I will have mercy on no mercy, the daughter's name. He will have mercy. And I will say to not my people, you are my people. And he shall say, you are my God. The broken family. And all the pain for Hosea, for Gomer, for the three children. They give us a memorable picture of God's dealings with unfaithful Israel and show how wonderful the gospel is, the change that God promises he will bring. And it reminds us and shows us how much we owe to the grace of God day by day. That these truths, these things are said of us. We who still sin and need daily grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that The word of judgment that Hosea delivered was not the last word, but that he spoke of a great reversal. And we thank you that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the one who brings about this change into the lives of people. And Lord, for many of us, we have known such a change, and we realize this was not of our own doing. It wasn't because of our own cleverness or our own goodness, but it was because of your grace, that you dealt with us in ways that we have not deserved, but that by your grace you have brought us to Christ, to know him, to know our lives being changed by him, for your Spirit to live within us, that we may indeed be united with Christ and one in Christ, that these wonderful truths will be seen in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.